Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You guys hear me in the back? Okay, good. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi al-kareem, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een. First and foremost, I want everyone in here to bear witness, because I hope it will benefit me on the Day of Judgment. I want everyone in here to bear witness that I love Brother Muhammad Abu Talib for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah reward him, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate him, and allow him to continue to benefit us, inshallah ta'ala, and allow many of our young American Muslims to come up with that same vision of combining academia, you know, and elevated academic standards, and elevating themselves in Islam and in da'wah. And at the same time, as we're all sitting here, and as we're all benefiting and talking about how to benefit the world and how to bring justice to it, I want to remind everyone that there is a young Muslim American by the name of Muhammad Sultan, and you've heard of him and you need to hear about him again, that is detained in Egypt until now for standing peacefully in Rab'a and demonstrating the coup and the massacre that took place. So go to the Rab'a booth, please, sign on to that petition, make dua for him, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring him back to safety. Allahumma ameen. Dear brothers and sisters, I'm going to offend quite a few people with my speech, so I apologize in advance. And I ask you to, you know, if you have any issues with anything that I say, just come and deal with it before you leave, so that you don't have anything in your heart against me, inshallah ta'ala. But it's because the topic that I have is one that is so important, and it's one that's so crucial. And it's talking about the comprehensive nature of Islam. Because when we talk about religion, unfortunately, we limit religion too much. We do this too often, where we limit religion to spirituality and we fail to ignore all of the other aspects of deen. And we restrict it to just a sense of worship and coming together and praying and not doing anything else with our lives. And we forget that our religion is a comprehensive religion. It's a religion in which the goals are realized through the means. It's a religion in which sleeping can be just as much of an ibadah, an act of worship, as praying if you have the right intention. It's a religion that puts the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the pleasure of the parents. It's a religion that puts half of your deen in your spouse. It's a religion that entrusts you with your children. It's a religion that applies principles to every single aspect of our everyday lives. And let's face it, if it was all about worship, then Iblis would have never been kicked out of paradise. Because Iblis worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. But it was something greater than that. And many times we fail to make that distinction, and we fail to apply the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our lives, and in the way that we deal with people, and in the way that we deal with our families and our communities. And you know, subhanAllah, when we're talking about the comprehensive nature of this, there's a great imam by the name of Al-Imam al-Shaybani, rahimahullah ta'ala. And Imam Muhammad al-Shaybani, being one of the two great jurists of the Hanafi school of thought, was one who used to lecture frequently on spirituality. He spoke about tazkiyah all the time. But at the same time, he never wrote a book on tazkiyah. He authored Al-Mabsut, he authored the most comprehensive encyclopedia of fiqh in the Hanafi school. He authored many, many, many books. But he never wrote a book on spirituality. So it perplexed the students. They asked him, they said, you know, you speak so much about the diseases of the heart and curing the heart and getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, you've never written a book on the diseases of the heart or purification of the soul. And he said, yes, I have. And they said, no, you haven't. He said, yes, I have. He said, I wrote Kitabul Buyur, the book of money, transactions, trade, and no, I'm not going to fundraise from you all today. But I wrote that book, and he said, whoever deals honestly with his money has a pure heart. And subhanAllah, I mean, that to me is mind-blowing, because let's face it, how many times, and you can raise your hand, how many times have you regretted doing business with a Muslim? Raise your hand. Some of you have never dealt with Muslims before, obviously. Right? How many times did you say, you know, mashallah, that brother in the masjid, mashallah, and then quickly that mashallah turned into astaghfirullah, and inshallah one day I'll get my money back and I'll get my justice. It happens all the time, because let's face it, It's very easy to portray a sense of religion to people, and in the sight of people, it's very easy to make yourself seem like a godly person. But when it comes to your everyday dealings, who are you? And what are you? And we live in a world where, subhanAllah, greed and self-gratification is constantly promoted. And to forget your own family members, to forget your neighbors, to forget your communities. How many people would be willing to deal in an Islamic way with their money? And it starts off with that. And you know, there's a weak hadith about the honest businessman, the honest merchant, being at the same level of the prophets and the siddiqun and the shuhada. But that was the saying of many scholars, that person who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his everyday dealings, because let's face it, how many of us are involved in haram money? How many of us put families in the graveyard every single day because we sell them their alcohol? And we sell them the things that go and get them killed. And we sell them the things that cause them to murder other people with their cars. Until today, you see people that are crying in graveyards, and we don't know who our victims are. And why do we do it? Because we want money. I'll write my check to the masjid. I'll go to Jum'ah. I'll go to a convention. Leave me alone. I do what I have to do. Don't talk to me about my haram money. It's a fact, and it's sad. Think about it. It's the pleasure of the self, that animalistic desire to elevate yourself, to get everything that you can possibly get. And it doesn't matter who you're going to step on in the process. And when we look at our religion and how comprehensive it is, look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the believers who have a true relationship with Allah, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes those who have no relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes those same believers who used to worship, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِّنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ وَبِالْأَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. That they used to stand up at night, they used to sleep little of the night. And they sought forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right before Fajr. After praying the night, they still would seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you know what else Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says? وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ لِلسَّائِنِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. Right after Qiyamul Layl, وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. After they stood up the entire night praying and establishing their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then seeking forgiveness because they knew it wasn't enough, they still spend their days spending upon the ones that are asking and upon the ones that are deprived from asking. And how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describe them? إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَبْلَ ذَٰلِكَ مُحْسِنِينَ. These were people of ihsan, people of excellence, people who did not just settle with their obligations to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or their obligations to the people. They excelled in the way they dealt with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the way they dealt with the people. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He describes the person of hellfire in Surah Al-Haqqah, how does Allah describe them? The complete opposites. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّوهُ ثم الجحيم صلوا ثم في سلسلة ذرعها سبعون ذراعا فاسلكوا. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, إنه كان لا يؤمن بالله العظيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فليس له اليوم هاهنا حميم ولا طعام إلا من غسلين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he did not believe in Allah, the Almighty. وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ. Nor was he making an effort to feed the poor. You see that connection? He didn't have true belief in Allah, nor was he making an effort to solve that problem and benefit the poor. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he would enter hellfire. وَلَيْسَ لَهُ الْيَوْمَ هَاهُنَا حَمِيمٌ. And he would have no friend, no protector today. وَلَا طَعَامٌ إِلَّا مِنْ غِسْلِينَ. And just as he made no effort to feed people and contribute to people's well-being, the only thing he would have to eat on the Day of Judgment would be his own pus. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. So our deen is deeply ingrained with this concept of what the Prophet ﷺ taught us, that خَيْرُ النَّاسِ أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ. The best of people are those that benefit the people the most. And when Rasulullah ﷺ is asked in a hadith from Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu about a woman, and we all know this hadith, but you know what? I'm going to read it in Arabic because there's something that's missed here. When he was asked about a woman, تَقُومُ اللَّيْلِ, she doesn't just pray her five prayers, no. She prays قِيَامُ اللَّيْلِ وَتَصُومُ النَّهَارِ, and she fasts during the day. وَتَفْعَلْ وَتَصَدَّقْ, she does, you know, she does all of those acts of religion. She fasts, she prays at night, she gives charity. وَتُؤْذِي جِرَانَهَا, but she has an abusive tongue with her neighbors. And you know what, dear brothers and sisters, and subhanAllah, time is already running out. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he heard that, he said about her, لا خير فيها هي في النار. There is no goodness inside of her. She is a person of hellfire. And subhanAllah, just because she has an abusive tongue with her neighbors, and it doesn't mention in this hadith whether her neighbors are Muslims. In fact, most of the muhaddithin, they said these are non-Muslim neighbors. That's the context of the hadith. So it's a sense of self-righteousness. تُؤْذِي جِرَانَهَا. She has an abusive tongue with her neighbors. And let's say they're non-Muslim neighbors. If Rasulullah ﷺ said that woman, despite her qiyam al-layl, and despite her fasting during the day, and despite her charity, would enter hellfire because she was abusive with her neighbors, then what about a man who goes to the masjid but then goes home and beats on his wife? What about a woman who harasses and other people? What about someone, what about a child that disrespects their parents? What good is sitting in a convention or going to the masjid or praying at night going to do if the middle gate of Jannah is shut for you? If the Prophet ﷺ is mentioning that about non-Muslim neighbors, what about your family? And that's why we take this hadith, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ, the best of people are those that are best to people, that benefit the people most. And then you see a more specific hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, خِيَارُكُمْ, that the best of you are the ones that are best to their families. خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِ, the one who treats his family the best. And you know what, dear brothers and sisters? You know what's amazing about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Because they say that greatness is attention to detail. And every time I read the seerah, I see attention to detail from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he is the greatest of all of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. Not a single one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam ever complained about him. Even after he passed away. And most of them outlived him. Not a single one of them ever mentioned where the Prophet ﷺ transgressed in an argument. And in fact, they have narrations about themselves upsetting the Prophet ﷺ and how the Prophet ﷺ responded with ihsan. And what a man sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he could stand up and say, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِ, the best amongst you are those that are best to their wives. And his wives would respond and say, you are the best of them. And Salama radiallahu anha, who is so much older than the rest of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, an old woman who is a widow with children, would say, صَدَقْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Every time she'd hear that hadith, you've told the truth, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's because that's how amazing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. And it wasn't just his family. And we talk about building a renaissance and we talk about bringing a community back. Attention to detail. The Prophet ﷺ noticed each and every single person in the masjid. And the woman that used to clean the masjid, we all know this story. The woman that used to clean the masjid, who even the companions, who had a lot less responsibility than the Messenger ﷺ thought was too insignificant to wake the Messenger ﷺ up for. And they buried her at night. And the Prophet ﷺ came the next day. And Rasulullah ﷺ wasn't told about it. The Prophet ﷺ notices things. He looks around. He says, where is that woman? It wasn't after 2 or 3 months. It wasn't after 2 or 3 months that the Prophet ﷺ said, hey, I haven't seen that woman for a long time. The next day, the Prophet ﷺ said, where is she today? Ya Rasulullah, she passed away and we buried her at night. And the Prophet ﷺ takes them all to the graveyard and prays upon her again. Allahu Akbar. As busy as you are, Ya Rasulullah, as busy as you are, as much responsibility as you have, you noticed someone that insignificant, and I use the quotation marks, insignificant, you noticed that, Ya Rasulullah?
And there's so many ahadith in Abu Dawood about a man who used to bring his son to play around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they're missing one day, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, where is that man and his son? And he's not asking it to chastise or to admonish them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cares about everyone in the masjid, and he's paying attention sallallahu alaihi wasallam to each and every single person. Wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim, because he has an exalted standard of character. The Prophet ﷺ wasn't just worshipping at night and teaching people ibadah. You tell me one narration where one of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, there are over 315,000 ahadith and traditions about the Messenger ﷺ. Not one of them even hints at the Prophet ﷺ disrespecting or rendering one of the companions insignificant or treating anyone wrongly. In fact, we find the opposite. You know, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he says that one day, I was so hungry that but I was too embarrassed. He said, I was starving, but I was too embarrassed to ask anyone for food. So he said, I would ask the companions about an ayah from the Book of Allah so that maybe they would recognize that I was hungry and they would pay attention and they would feed me. They'd take me back to their homes. So he said, I saw Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and I asked him about an ayah of the Book of Allah, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu answered the question. He said, by Allah, I knew the answer, but I was hungry. And Abu Bakr walked away. And he said, so I went to Umar and I asked Umar about an ayah. And Umar radiallahu anhu answered. And he said, by Allah, I already knew the answer. And so Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave me the answer and he walked away. He said, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw me. This is mind-blowing to me. You ask the imams that are here and the mashayikh, how many times we felt bad because we found out later on that perhaps someone came and said salam and we didn't give them salam, or someone had an issue and we didn't notice that they weren't in the masjid for some time, or someone was troubled and we couldn't make out their facial expressions and that person was hurt because they thought we cared about them. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu and look at him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He recognizes, he looks at Abu Huraira and he can tell he's hungry. So Abu Huraira says, Qum ya Abu Huraira, come on, let's go. Brings him to his house. Asks his family, what do we have? We have a pitcher of laban, of milk. And no, it's not called halib. A pitcher of milk. And the Prophet ﷺ says to Abu Huraira, go call all of Ahl al-Suffa, go call the other ones too. And Abu Huraira says, the Prophet ﷺ passed around that pitcher. And he said, I was afraid it was going to finish. And when it came to me, the Prophet ﷺ said, drink, O Abu Huraira. And it was still full. How amazing is that? That the Prophet ﷺ, the most busy amongst them, noticed that, was paying attention, and looked at his face and said, he's hungry. Because that's who he was, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where everybody, every single one of the companions thought they were the most beloved to the Prophet ﷺ. And in the very famous hadith of Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where Amr radiallahu anhu says, I thought the Prophet ﷺ, he doesn't say this, but he thought the Prophet ﷺ loved him more than anyone else. So he said, I asked the Prophet ﷺ in front of the people, Ya Rasulullah, man ahabbu an-nas ilayk? O Messenger of Allah, who is the most beloved of the people to you? It's like, tell him. Go ahead. It's okay. Let's tell him. Rasulullah ﷺ says, well, if you're asking, Aisha, my wife, radiallahu anha. He said, no, Ya Rasulullah. I mean from the men. Tell him, go ahead. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Abuha. He didn't say Abu Bakr. He said, her father. And so he said, then who? He said, then Umar. And he said, I stopped asking because I thought he'd never get to me. But subhanAllah, what made him even do that? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam treated everyone in the community that way. He built that community. He recognized people's needs. And you won't find one complaint, and if I may, except for one. One time in the entire seerah of the Prophet ﷺ that one of the companions was offended by him. And this is my favorite hadith. This is my absolute favorite hadith. And you're coming to kick me off, right? Can I share this hadith? Okay. Jazakallah khair. This hadith, dear brothers and sisters, I feel like saved my iman when I was a teenager. Because it made me fall in love with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because I was reading all of the Islamophobic material about him. And this sahabi complained about this and this companion. They cut out and they say, narrated by a Tabari, narrated by this, narrated by that. And then I found this one hadith. And it's from Usayd ibn Hudayr radiallahu anhu in Abu Dawood, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one time walked by a group of young men while one of them was making the other ones laugh, and he was laughing obnoxiously. I mean, he was laying back, he was reclined, and he was telling jokes, and he was laughing obnoxiously. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he poked him. He didn't poke him hard, he just poked him gently, just to remind him to be, you know, to be calm, not to be obnoxious in his laughter. And that young man, insignificant man, says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I want revenge. The audacity of a young man to say that to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most powerful man, and he's insignificant, right? He's just another person. I want my revenge. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't defend himself. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say, do you know who I am? I am the messenger of Allah. Usually when you read about kings and generals, you find very pompous statements. Do you know who I am? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately tells him, astabir, go ahead, poke me. Poke me the way that I poked you. And the man, even at that point, says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, inna alayka qamisa, you have a garment on you, wa laysa alayya qamis, and I don't have a garment on me. The audacity of that young man. How dare you speak to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that way? And even then, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifts his shirt. Go ahead and poke. And instead, the man grabs the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this young teenager grabs the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he kisses the Prophet ﷺ, and he says, إِنَّمَا أَرَدْتُ هَذَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. This is all I wanted, O Messenger of Allah. Do you know how amazing your Messenger ﷺ was? Ihsan, greatness, is attention to detail. Fulfill your rights to your family, to your community, and most importantly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Spend your nights serving Him, and spend the day serving the people. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us not just amongst those who touch 40 people, but to make us amongst those that touch the lives of hundreds and thousands. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are amongst those that show the beauty of Islam to people in our character and our words. Allahumma ameen. And I apologize for going over my time. Jazakum Allahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.